Today's Old Testament lesson is Psalm 89, verses 1 to 5, God's covenant with David. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David, I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. Today's gospel comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
This is Christmas Eve. And a lot of people may have been talking or feeling some pressure because time's running out to get all the presents bought and wrapped, cards sent out in the mail, preparations for family dinners and travel made. But at least those stresses and tensions in our lives end in happy occurrences. And we figure it is well worth the effort to share the love at Christmas time. But not everything about Advent and Christmas is always that happy. Several years ago, a minister friend of mine was wanting to teach his children, help them know the real meaning of Christmas and counter all the commercial Christmas frenzy. So he sat down at the kitchen table with his four-year-old in the middle of December. He had bought a cardboard nativity scene in which, you know, you'd fold tabs and insert things here and insert things there and end up, according to the box, the picture on the box, with just a lovely manger scene. Well, it was easier said than done, he found. And of course, within a few minutes, it was a disaster. Nothing worked as intended. Nothing ended up looking like the picture on the box. The pastor dad had all but taken over for his son, but he did no better than his four-year-old partner. And the kitchen table was littered with torn, bent, and spineless figures just kind of wilting over. Pieces were frayed and taped together. The father, in his frustration, was close to just kind of clearing the table, trashing the whole thing. And his four-year-old was admittedly less than impressed. Surveying the scene on the table, the four-year-old, who was supposed to be learning the real meaning of Christmas, said, "So, Daddy, where is God in all this mess?" It's a fun memory, but it also captures a quintessential Advent question. Where is God in all this mess? And I'm not talking about the mess that I mentioned before of things that end up with happy gatherings and smiling faces. I'm thinking about Mary, an unwed mother, living in a land that was occupied by Imperial Rome. Joseph, a simple working man, not much wealth in that household. I'm also thinking and knowing that somewhere, someone sat up half the night last night worrying. Maybe he'd gotten or she had gotten word that a job was eliminated. And they wondered, where is God in all this mess? And somewhere a spouse grips the hand of a beloved one waiting news of a diagnosis. And where is God, they wonder, in all this uncertainty? And somewhere a family gathers around the bed of a loved one at the end of a long life's journey. Where is God, they wonder, in the midst of this loss, in the midst of our particular grief? Or maybe we just check the daily news and wonder, where on earth is God in the midst of all this chaos around us? Well, our Advent claim is that God is right here in the middle of the mess with us. And God is in the middle of the mess with Mary, because the first thing the angel Gabriel says to Mary is, "The Lord is with you. We aren't alone." And then the angel says, "Do not be afraid." Gabriel assured Mary that God was with her, but little did she know how close, how real, and how vulnerable the God she was willing to become on our behalf. Poet and author Madeleine L'Engle describes the birth of Christ in A Messy World. She said, "He did not wait till the world was ready, till people and nations were at peace. He came when the heavens were unsteady and prisoners cried out for release. He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, the Maker of the stars was born. We cannot wait till the world is sane to raise our songs with joyful voice. For to share our grief, to touch our pain, is why he came with love. Rejoice, rejoice." Year after year, we gather to hear the story of Jesus' birth, even when the world is not sane or there are trials in our own lives. We raise our songs throughout Advent, sharing the hopeful words and feelings of the prophets in the Bible looking towards the birth of a Savior. Because although we know sorrow and despair and uncertainty, we also know that love has been birthed into the messiness of our world, right into the middle of it. Because know this, God does not wait. God does not wait until the world is ready or for a perfect time or a perfect peace. God does not wait for violence to end. God does not wait for all the messes to be tidied up. God does not wait because Jesus is being born always where people need him most. God makes God's home in the messiest of places a stable, in the messiest of times, and with the most ordinary of people, a teenage girl and her fiancé, later to be joined by shepherds. And even more, by faith in Jesus, we are promised a way out of the messes into a life forgiven and eternal. For Jesus is being born where we need him most, in the messes, in the hard places, in the dark places, in the lonely places, in the places and with the people who seem too far gone. Jesus is born into exactly these kinds of places. He spends his life with the most vulnerable and brokenhearted of people, as well as those who see reasons to rejoice. And it is through the birth of this child into the mess of first century Bethlehem and into the mess again of our 2023 world that compels us to proclaim and share the word of shepherds running through the streets, that love also is running through the streets. Emmanuel, they were told to call the child. God with us, God with skin on, God who pitched God's tent and lived among us here. God has become one of us. And today, despite the messes that surround us and the world's pain, we know that God has become one of us, is in the middle of it all with us, helping, healing, rejoicing. And so we raise our songs with joyful voice, for love has come. For this we say, thanks be to God, love has come into the mess. Amen.